Okay, well, I was just gonna let you sign up if you did, but. Okay. You ready? Call tonight's Planning Commission meeting for May the 8th to order. And let's see. We have approval of the minutes for April of 2019.
I make a motion to approve the minutes of April 19, 2019.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. That passes. Appearance of interested citizens for anything that's not on the agenda tonight? Okay. So we have a continuation of the public hearing. Do I have to officially open that even though we're continuing it? Okay, we have opened the continuation of the public hearing on the proposed text amendment for section 2.118, urban transition. We have no one signed up tonight, so let's start with staff.
Now that's on and the tape can hear me. So we're back again for the UT zone, continued after last month and the previous month. And being that it's been beautiful weather and baseball's upon us, hopefully this isn't strike three tonight, and hopefully we get it somewhat right. Oh, I'm not gonna go that far. So the staff report kind of lays out what we talked about the last 2 weeks. I've talked to a few of you this week. I apologize for the confusion that was created with the options and then the options that got renumbered midstream and things were added maybe to options and maybe subtracted to options. So what we tried to do is recap in the staff report what the four options were. I added in a little pros and cons as we saw it as staff. Ultimately our original concept from the first meeting, ultimately, we couldn't accomplish that because of some legal parameters that Shane was not aware of since he is not an attorney. So, as that sits, after looking at all of it, weighing and looking at everything that we've talked about, hearing the concerns of those that came and testified at last month's meeting, which was great to see some of the property owners here expressing some of their concerns, what we have before you tonight is modified text from the previous two meetings to what we are viewing as, no, this is really our recommendation tonight. So essentially what this recommendation does, the easiest way to describe it would be it's sort of like option two, but better. And why I say better is that it clarifies the acreage cap at anything under a half an acre is going to get an exemption to the conditional use requirement. And it's not just going to be for conditional uses for a house or in addition to a house or an accessory structure. It's going to be for any of the uses listed in the coinciding underlying comprehensive plan designation. What it also necessitated us to do, though, was to keep that conditional use process in place for those properties over a half acre. So I think the takeaway that I want to make sure that we're communicating, and real quickly I'll open it up to if you guys have specific questions on details or wording or any of that, but really if you look at it boiled down to the brass tacks, we're proposing text that's going to make it easier for a property owner in the UT zone on a parcel that's under a half an acre to kind of do what they want to do. And for everybody above a half an acre, there is no change to them other than the fact that there will be automatic zoning provisions made for any partitions that were to come in. And there also is the added benefit of clarifying that out-of-date language that creates some confusion for folks as to what they can or can't do and what priority area they're in. So that's essentially what the text is fixing. So it's kind of like option two that we talked about last month, but a little bit better, as I said. And then the other piece of our recommendation that we're asking for from Planning Commission is, you know, even though it's two separate issues, two separate processes, we want to have you guys give us a recommendation on the text amendment portion of it tonight, but we also would like to get direction or initiation of us coming back to you at a future date as we have resources to pursue that rezoning of those properties up north, because ultimately we still believe that's what we need to do. But this will give us some utility in the interim, and it also creates a UT zone that would be usable and able to be applied in other situations if that need so arose in the future. And with that, I will kind of open it up to any, oh, Nate is adding. He told me that.
I did want to share with you that I had a very good conversation with Mr. Orne, who's here tonight. We talked about his concerns, the very valid concerns of, okay, the world changes. I don't want my uses to be limited. I don't want to give up what we have. And so we chatted for quite some time, and certainly we can all appreciate his perspective. And we can also appreciate the fact that, well, things, you know, we say things and sometimes, you know, it turns out different or whatever. But so what I did share with Mr. Orne is that the city would be willing to, and he would like that, to write him a specific letter about his property, about the uses that he currently enjoys, the status of the fact that if the zoning changed, those would be legally established non-conforming uses, that he would have the right to continue those uses until such time as he chose to abandon them, or even a successor property owner chose to abandon them. So, again, it was a delightful conversation, and I think we are in a good place, and we understand each other's concerns and the desires that we have. So, I just wanted to share that with you. I tried to actually find the contact information for Marcia Bernardczyk. She did not provide that on the sign-in sheet, and I could not. We looked pretty hard and couldn't come up with any contact information. We could have used snail mail, but if I would have mailed something by the time we found the, she'd get it probably tomorrow. So. anyway, so I have not had a conversation with Mrs. Bernardczyk, but her testimony was pretty clear and pretty thorough. She also shared the same concerns that she wants to make sure that her existing uses are not impeded. And we would provide that same kind of letter to her as well, or as to any other property owner that expressed those concerns.
Would that letter, or should would it be more appropriate for that letter just to be sent to all 111 or 13 whatever property owners versus only if requested?
Well, we can talk about that. I don't know. I mean,
if we're potentially changing something, I think they should be afforded that same opportunity that Mrs. Bernardczyk and Mr. Orme receive.
The only reason that I'm not really concerned about it, there's no expiration here. So, you know.
Okay.
So if somebody were to come in and say, well, I've got these concerns, fine, we'll write you a letter, you know. And we would invite people, if you have concerns, you need to participate in the public process as these property owners have.
Right.
I don't have strong feelings about it. I'm just saying.
Mr. Kellyer?
Thank you,
and
Chair.
Mr. Lawyer?
And what you're saying in the letter is basically it's available to everybody, that these privileges or rights, it's in code or in case law or whatever. So it's not, no one's getting anything particular special. They're just getting it clarified. And a letter with that information will make it clear and easier to understand than trying to wallow your way through the code. That's pretty much how I'm hearing that. I mean, what I'm saying is that we're not affording any of these folks, this letter doesn't afford any of those folks any special privileges. It's available for all of them, and it just simplifies getting the information rather than them having to go to an attorney or come talk to you or go through the code or whatever to find where they have these these privileges.
So if I'm understanding, you're also supporting the fact that we should just send the letter to all?
Well, no. What I'm saying is it's available to everybody. Not everybody probably wants the letter. A lot of folks that maybe that saw a couple months ago when we talked about it, or a month ago, heard what we talked about, that these privileges are theirs, or these rights are theirs, and that they're there as long as they continue to use, and they can sell their property for under those rights, and if that person continues the use, that they have the ability to do that. If they abandon it for a year, then they lose those? Is that how that, mm-hmm. if I remember right? Okay.
Well.
Under pre-existing non-conforming.
Yeah. Okay, and actually the question I had is in looking at the memo in the packet, so are you recommending number two, or are you recommending a hybrid of number two? The number two being proposed text language from 4/10/19 meeting, except prior properties under a half acre allow single-family development outright, or properties over a half acre require conditional use.
Right, so what we're asking for, we are recommending that you forward the code language that is before you tonight to City Council, which is essentially like that option two language, but with just a couple of tweaks, because we didn't have that language prepared. And I think that was we talked about it last month, part of the confusion that we created as staff is we gave you these options without any language in front of you to look at. And so it was kind of like, well, what if we did this? And what if we did this? So what we're really asking for tonight, Commissioner Callier, is that you would forward the recommendation to council of the language we have before you for the UT zone. And that's what this public hearing is technically for. And then in addition to that, you would direct staff to move forward with that text amendment process that has to go through a totally separate land use process. And we could talk about the whole, how we want to notify people or things like that, or the rezone, sorry. The legislative rezone process, thank you, Nate. So, and we could talk about, like, if we need to send a special letter with them, we could absolutely do that through that separate process.
Okay.
But we're trying to, for what it's worth, I'm trying to kind of split the two discussions, because they became one discussion, because in that first meeting it was, well, the other option would be we could go this route instead. So after going through those two meetings and talking a lot and analyzing the code and what we could and couldn't do, we've come back to say we want to split that discussion back up. But since we've already had the discussion, we really wanted to get your guys's input based on what we heard testimony-wise, the concerns we heard-wise, to say move forward the legislative rezone process on a separate track, but move that forward. Or if you say, no, we don't want you to pursue that, then we don't want to spin our wheels going through that process either. So that's what we're asking for. And we think, as staff, we think it's the right thing to split into two different tracks, move this one forward to council, and start the other one motoring up to get that, so it'll be back before you guys here in the near future.
Okay. And Shane said it, but just to make sure, that new process, we start at square one. It's not like we got to do this notice, so we're just going to piggyback. No, it starts, the entire process starts from square one.
Yeah, this is notification and the billboards that say zone, rezone, and all the stuff. Yeah, okay.
Mr. Lawyer?
So, thank you. A comment and then two little questions. So the comment is, I think the summation of sort of what I specifically and some others were confused on, it was very good, drawing this out, making it very clear what the objective was through all the options. Was very helpful. I think we have a very targeted expectation and goal for this evening in the language there, I think is very predictable and tangible for anybody sitting up here. So I really, really appreciate that. It's very well drawn out and far more easy to follow than it has been. So thank you very much for indulging that opportunity to drag this on for 3 months. The first question specifically as it relates to the UT zone. So the language as proposed, let's say in option two, would potentially go into effect for the current landowners. But the big picture here is looking to the future. You retain UT language for any additional new UT land that could or may come into the city as a result of a UGB expansion. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So you don't want to eliminate it. You still want to retain it on the books for purposes of future use.
Yes. That would be for sure.
Okay. Because right now, all these properties, for the most part, have all the access to utilities and all the other stuff that would essentially make them a UT land. But any new property moving forward may not have those. Okay. So the second question is specifically as it relates to the legislative rezone. As you've mentioned, this would be a brand new process. We could get through the entire discussion of a legislative rezone and determine through public testimony and other things that it just is not a feasible option for the residents of Kaiser. So initiating a process is not a mandate to do the rezone, correct?
That's correct. Yes, absolutely.
So the public participation, as I'm hearing from the chair and from Mr. Callier, is going to be very important to that effect, especially for those landowners that do want to retain non-conforming uses at this point.
Yep.
Or would we be considered non-conforming uses
Sure.
moving through a legislative rezone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Is everybody comfortable with what they've heard so far and ready to move towards a decision once we are okay to close the public hearing since there's no one here?
Yeah.
So I'm going to close the public hearing.
Can we go back to the tape and see if the hand was up in motion?
Welcome to the NBA. Councillor Callier.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to make a motion that we accept the staff's recommendation of the changes to 2.118 urban transition UT zone, and with that, direct them, unless you want it in two different motions, direct staff.
Shannon.
Yes, Shannon wants two different motions. Okay, I'm done.
Second.
Could you repeat your motion? I got
Sure. My motion is to accept the staff's recommendation of 2.118, the urban transition UT zone.
Second.
Okay.
Which is option two, right, basically, in the staff report, yeah.
Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Passes unanimously.
So, if I may. I'd like to make a motion to direct staff to look into a legislative rezone of this property at a future date as resources and time become available.
I'll second that.
Okay, questions, discussion? All.
The only thing that I really, and I get it, we're going to notice this, but public participation is going to be key. I think that was why we ended up in a long process here. And so, you know, if that means give us a list and we'll go to door to door and knock on people's doors, I'm willing to put that time in. But I think public participation is really important.
Well, unlike what we did tonight, an individual notice will be required of every property that is affected. So it was voluntary this time. It's not voluntary for the rezone.
Shannon?
We did have a second, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Callier.
One point. And actually, I think it was good because the motion, now let me turn to Shane's staff report. The staff report uses the word initiate, which is a formal one, but your motion was to look into, if I heard the language correctly. And I would suggest leaving that motion that way unless Shane and Nate have a different idea. And the reason is this, rather than formally initiate it, because your motion was to look into it. The staff has indicated we're not ready to do that. We need to get some resources. I don't know what kind of time frame they're thinking about, but it's not going to be real quick. So when we get to that stage, either council or the planning commission or staff, for that matter, under our code, can formally initiate it there. But I just wanted to clarify for the record, we're not formally initiating that process tonight under this motion. Is that all right with you both or not?
Let me just say, my desire is to not to, we've already talked about doing the legislative rezone. I don't want to have to come back here and say, do you want to do a legislative rezone yet again? So if that's the case, if that's the case, then I would ask that you reconsider that motion and use the word initiate as resources become available, simply because
then we don't have to come back.
Then we don't have to come back to initiate it.
Is that acceptable to the maker of the motion and the second?
Do we need to withdraw, or can we do an amendment? So I would like to initiate legislative rezone rather than look into a legislative rezone.
Okay with me?
With all the other things that I said as well.
All in favor?
Yes. Yes, I did.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Well, that was easy.
No.
That didn't take but 20 minutes. It wasn't right. 2 months and 20 minutes.
We really couldn't count the first month. First month was just kind of a show and tell process.
And Shannon wasn't here, so it wasn't official.
that was option introduction of option 1.573.
Multiple options.
Yes.
Okay, next on the agenda, item 5, a public hearing on a proposed text amendment. Section 2.108 and Section 2.115 to allow operation of mobile food vendors in those zones, and to amend Section 2.434, mobile food vendors, to clarify the requirement for mobile food vendor placement consistent with the recently modified city ordinance governing mobile food vendors. Could you translate that, please, staff?
And before, if you could formally open the hearing.
It is open, the public hearing.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Whalen. Yes, so we get to come back with food carts to you guys one more time. It seems like all we do is bring back the same things over and over again. I apologize. I would say it's not my fault, but somehow my name ends up on all the papers, so it feels a lot like it is. So what we have tonight, it's super... super basic. It's really a matter of formality of going through our processes. We had, you know, as many of you remember, not so long ago, we enacted the ability to have mobile food vendors in the city of Kaiser, and we went through and we had a bunch of standards that lived in the development code. We had a couple that came in, and we found out those standards weren't great, and we needed to do some amendments, so we amended them, and in that process, it was advised, and ultimately the planning commissioners that were here at that time decided it would be a better idea for the mobile food vendors to live in a standalone ordinance, similar to how the marijuana retailers were controlled and regulated. And so there was still a hook in the development code, since lands are used for certain pieces. And so the food vendors were allowed basically where our code allowed restaurants. So the mobile food vendor ordinance at the April 1st City Council meeting went before council with some amended changes that were kind of driven by some of our councilors and I believe some of the food cart operators that had given input as to how our process maybe wasn't the best for their businesses. And so the ordinance was changed that instead of mobile food vendors being individually licensed, that instead licenses would be issued for a premise, so that any number of mobile food carts could come in and out on a daily or weekly basis or monthly basis, so it could be more of a revolving door. And the way the ordinance had previously been structured, each individual cart had to get a license, and then that license was tied to an address. So if a cart wanted to operate at multiple addresses, there was some confusion. We kind of had a workaround trying to work with them to say, no, we'll let you amend it and we won't charge you anything, but we do need to have a site plan for every single place. So ultimately, this new ordinance cleans it up and says, okay, if you're going to have food carts at this location, show us where that location is and where the food carts are going to be. We don't care what food carts are in there as long as they're properly licensed with Marin County Health Department. But by doing that, we created a conflict in the development code for two reasons. One, the new ordinance specifically was intended to allow food carts on all non-residential properties. So not just on places that only restaurants were allowed, but to actually allow them on all non-residential properties. And so two zones, the CO zone and the AI zone, were zones that previously we couldn't have issued a food cart permit. So the changes I'm proposing for those two sections are literally the word mobile food vendor under special permitted use. It's just to add them in to make it official. And then we have a section in our code in section 2.434, which is our mobile food vendor section. That's where all the standards used to live before we created a standalone ordinance. And now the standards literally say, A, obtain a license from Marion County Environmental Health or appropriate governing agency, and previously said obtain a Kaiser permit consistent with all applicable Kaiser regulations to operate a mobile food vendor. And so it put the onus on the mobile food vendor itself to obtain the permit. And because that process and language was changed, we are now proposing language that says, B, it must be located on a site which has obtained a mobile food vendor premise permit. So it's literally that simple. That's what the changes are proposed. And hope, yes, Councilor, or Commissioner? No, no question? Oh, no. Sorry, I thought you were asking. That's it. So that's what we're asking, is that we'd get this back before council so we can get the development code to align with the recently passed ordinance.
How is the way that Kaiser regulates food vendors different from the way other cities do? Is there a major difference, or is there going to be a major difference? Why don't we just adopt what similar cities adopt?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. So be careful how I say this. So actually, our original food vendor ordinance and our regulations were actually modeled after Salem's. We got literature and documentation from them and talked to their staff about how that was regulated. We found that other cities maybe don't enforce their regulations. I'll just leave it kind of at that. So there might be some regulations on the books in other cities. And it's tough, Christopher. I think some of the really big cities, like if you think of like City of Portland, they have like the huge food cart. It's a real different dynamic. And some of those are governed by different ownership agreements, and the city owns some of the land that they go on, and there's a lot of lease language. It's not really development code language as much. Most of the smaller cities either allow them or don't allow them for varying degrees. And so we actually did model our original language and standards off of neighboring cities and looked at kind of several different cities, and then kind of found that for the food cart industry, based on whether or not those cities were enforcing and holding them to those standards. So we're basically trying to make the ordinance a little bit easier. So what we've changed to is going to be closer in line with how other places have operated, we think. So if that answers it. So, okay.
Councillor de Blasi?
So previously, a vendor would come in and show, hey, I've got my license, to the city. Now they just go to whoever owns the lot and shows it to them. Is there any, auditing to check that?
Yeah, so we do. We still have a permit process for the property owner. And so obviously since Kaiser's pretty little, the vision is that when we see food carts pop up, I mean, I may or may not be one of the first people that eats at them anyway. but no, I think generally if we see food carts pop up in town and we know that the premise doesn't have a permit, we're going to stop in and talk to them. We've done that a few times already previously with the old permitting process. But then once that permit gets obtained for a site, then it's good for ever, basically. So
if I could jump in, I think Michael was asking about the health department license, and that will be probably looked at not every time, but it really kind of depends on how hungry Shane is. So, or Ben. I mean, well, they're required to post those clearly. So, I can't promise that everyone's going to get checked, but that is the difference between the old ordinance and this one. The property owner, it could be, as a practical matter, if the food vendor is the one that's really wanting to go there and the property owner is basically just kind of along for the ride, the mobile food vendor might do all the legwork for the permit, but legally that permits the property owner's permit. And the council was very clear they did not want a renewal process. They Basically, you get one, you're good forever unless you change the number or the location of them on the site.
And just the other thought to add, that the license that is being required is the Marion County Health Department license. It's their responsibility to make sure that all restaurants, all food handlers meet their requirements. We will, of course, as Shane is visiting these sites, we'll be keeping our eyes open, but ultimately it's the Marion County Health Department's responsibility to enforce their, because we're not going to go up there and read the fine print as to when it was issued and when it expires and all of that. Just want to be clear that we're not taking on this as an adjunct to the health department.
And that's the same way it was before then, is what you're saying.
Mr. Lawyer.
So the only question I have, and I don't know how this would apply, city owns land. How is the city going to then have to go through this permitted process to have mobile food vendors on their own property?
I'll defer to the city attorney. I think technically it depends on what the situation is, but I'll let Shannon,
because I'm thinking as we
that.
Expand down at the Charge House and that area down there, Little League fields and some of those other things.
Yeah. So at the last minute, and I can't remember if I can claim credit for this or not, but it came up at the council meeting about situations like that, specifically Kaiser Rapids Park or some other location. Iris Fest.
Oh, here.
Kaiser, right here, and Kaiser Fest. Let me get to here in a minute, because that's different. But Kaiser Fest, for example, or Kaiser Rapids Park, for example, we added at the last minute in the what's called a mobile food vendor premises permit, that if you are permitted under a special event permit, parks permit, or other city permit, then this ordinance isn't applicable to you. So they operate under that. Okay. So, for example, the Chamber and Kaiser Fest, and it would be the same way. As a matter of fact, Clint Holland's looking at some food trucks for the concert series, and that just came up this week, and I told him what I just told you. Now to City Hall. City Hall, we had a couple of events. There was an interesting one where we actually had a client using the community rooms, and their food service was food trucks out here. It was kind of an interesting event. And then we also had a school district event that brought in food trucks. In those situations, the city would need to be just like a regular property owner, and which I'm really excited about, because on at least one of those events, if not both, they placed them in really dumb places, and there was no oversight. They didn't come to us first, and was a little late to move them. Cars moved, and the cars weren't open up. So I'm kind of glad about that.
So the specific ordinance related to the mobile food vendors carries all that language. It's not necessary for the actual development code. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So who's going to fill out that permit application?
I'm going to make Chris do it. He's the one that wanted the food trucks, so I'm going to make him fill out the application. So.
Yeah, right. You know how that's going to go.
Yeah, well.
Any other?
Shane will fill it out.
He said it'd be Shane or Ben.
Yeah.
And then I'll have to enforce it, Shane or Ben.
Are there any other questions for staff? Kyle. Right.
Is there something came up with about the existing code that was modified? What about hours for the mobile food vendors?
The hours on the ordinance didn't get changed. So it still says, I believe it's 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. or 10 p.m.
It's 11. Okay. And there was quite a bit of discussion at council about that, but ultimately they decided not to change that. So it's still 6 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Okay.
Okay. We have no one signed up to speak. Shannon?
And no one here to speak.
And no one here to speak, okay. So we can close the public hearing.
That's correct.
Public hearing is closed. Mr. Lawyer.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to adopt the language as presented in the mobile food vendor Development Code 2.434 as presented. Is that clear? I don't even know. Did I stumble on myself?
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify.
Aye.
Passed unanimously. Okay, item six, new old business, staff report.
Well, I don't know why this always catches me by surprise.
It's the same part of the agenda every time.
It's like, okay, well, let's talk about next month's meeting. So our BLI H&A meeting is on the 25th. 29th. Sorry, I've third time I've done this. So the 29th is the committee meeting and the public meeting on the BLI H&A. That's the Buildable Lands Inventory Housing Needs Analysis. And we want you all to be part of that. And so we would like to move the June meeting to May 29th and have every one of you be there for that. This will be the last meeting of the committee and the last outreach before the report is released. And so it's really important that all of you participate in that process. So if you would kindly mark your calendars and plan to be there, and more than just be there, participate.
What time will that meeting be?
I believe it is planned to be at 6 o'clock. The committee meeting, or the Citizens Advisory Committee meeting, is going to be at 4:30, and then the open house public outreach meeting is going to begin at 6. So you will be getting the copy of that draft report to you, I think, by the end of this week.
Yeah, that's the goal. We've been in talking back and forth with the consultant, and actually, I don't even know if you saw that email because it was super late today, but we just got an email from the consultant that they're on track trying to get that all out to send to the CAC, but we're planning on sending it to all of you as well, hopefully by the end of this week, that report and the draft report and the strategies document would go out, so you'll have that.
So if you do not see it by the end of this week, please contact us. We'll put it on the web. We will we're going to distribute it to everybody that we have addresses for. So you maybe you'll get it multiple times. I don't know.
Okay. Mr. Brown, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
And that will be, and you may not have the answer now, but it's something I'd like to get a reply to and, you know, honor before the meeting. When we complete the buildable lands and the housing needs, will we get the data that says if we stay within our existing envelope, you know, within the UGB city limits, what potentially are we looking at in terms of population growth? If that's, you know, if that's a, you know, if we build, if we have X amount of houses and there's, what's the density going to increase by staying within that envelope?
Yes, that information is in there. The whole picture is so complex because if we stay within our existing envelope, we still have our same needs. We have deficits in every one of our housing needs, both in low, medium, and high density. We share the UGB, so the question becomes more complex. We know how much capacity we have for additional growth, and we also know that there is a range of options. Those options don't necessarily include, for example, the work that we're doing in our revitalization project. That revitalization project is creating the potential for almost 5,000 units of additional housing. So there are a lot of moving parts in this whole picture. It doesn't talk about industrial lands. It doesn't talk about our adopted need that we have, our aspirational goal that we have been adopted. So there are so many parts to this thing that it is daunting for you just to jump in and say, well, what's the answer? So we're actually having a work session with the council this coming Monday, and we're going to try to start laying out for the council, and you're all certainly welcome to attend, laying out for the council some of these moving parts, some of the questions that they're going to need to address, and how, what kinds of options they have to look at. Certainly the three options that are included in this BLI H&A report are, okay, we've got an existing. What happens if we don't change? What happens if we just draw the line and we say, how much acreage are we going to have? Well, that's about 500 acres. So it does lay out various elements as to when we make these decisions and when the council is faced with making those decisions, here's the information that you have to draw upon. And so our goal on Monday night is to try and identify those pieces of information that we have so far. We're still missing the transportation component of that. We're working on the scope of that study right now. So I don't know how to answer your question with a yes or no.
Oh, wait, I'm just kind of crystal balling what something may look like. And obviously there's more work to be done if we don't have the transportation management piece. We can't draw a whole picture if we don't have all the pieces to the puzzle.
Well, it's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. I mean, at some point you get in this puzzle process. I say that because there's one out on the back table. You get in the process, and pretty soon a lot of the pieces are starting to be put in place. And I think we're kind of to that point where we're getting a lot of pieces put together. Okay. We've done our cost of growth study where we looked at three different cities and what they had to face. We are in the final days of this buildable lands inventory study. We are in the final weeks of our revitalization project. So there's been a lot of work being done.
Okay. Thank you very much. Michael?
I just wanted to make a request, and I guess it's really if Debbie, if we could get an email reminder of the Monday's council meeting that you're referring to.
Sure. I say sure, and I look at Debbie.
Thank you.
The work session, I think, now starts at
six.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else from staff? New old business?
There's no news.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So In-N-Out has announced, and apparently it's been all over the media, In-N-Out has announced that they plan to close on their agreement with Donahue Shriver on the 17th, and a day that will live in infamy. So at the last council meeting, they basically had made a request of Donahue Shriver that they have additional wayfinding signage. And Donahue Shriver got that approved at the last council meeting. Mind you, they have to come back to approve the order. But so, yes, In-N-Out is in.
That's good, but I'd like to make a little correction to what you said.
Uh-oh.
That day already exists in infamy, if you would speak to my mother. Because the 17th is also my birthday.
As it is mine.
Really? And yet we don't look at all the same.
Different mothers, I am.
We'll celebrate your birthday and I'll bring the cheeseburgers.
Well, they won't be, they, yeah, that's, so that's the other thing is they anticipate that they will open the store at late November.
Well, we'll celebrate your birthday and I'll bring you all Bob's cheeseburgers. How about that?
Perfect.
I just hope they don't do it on Black Friday.
Oh, God. So do the rest of the merchants out there, I'm sure.
Can you imagine? I don't know.
Anything else?
No, that's enough.
Okay. Councillor Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Whalen. I guess I'll start with Mr. Brown and I had attended a Marion County Housing Initiative meeting this afternoon that was really interesting in that it brought several of the jurisdictions to the table to figure out where their housing issues are, and that the commissioners were very clear that we are in a housing crisis and we just keep falling further and further behind. And it was interesting to see what other jurisdictions were doing within their own limitations or lack thereof. Woodburn's building all over the place. But but it was, I think, a very important conversation to coordinate. And Mr. Brown had made the request that we kind of keep each other in the loop a little bit more on this as we move forward with fulfilling our housing needs for the future. So that was an interesting meeting. I think that's about all that I really have to report Planning Commission related. But, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being here. Christopher, Council Liaison report.
The renovate, yeah, the bond work.
Yeah. So... thanks to Councilor Reed, who graciously gave it to me. I've got information now. So McNary High School's groundbreaking ceremony for the renovations going on is on May 17th at 9:30 a.m., and everyone is welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Having said that, and the fact that we have, it's been determined we're not going to meet in June, this will be Chris's last meeting with us as a youth commissioner liaison representing high school students. You've been with us most of this year. So on behalf of the Planning Commission, I would like to thank you for your time, your commitment, and your contributions to the work of this group. As you move forward in life and in education, I hope you stay involved, whether it be in Kaiser or wherever life takes you. Involvement is the fabric of a community. It's the involvement of its population that really makes a difference. So I'd like to thank you for that. And from the myself and the other commissioners, here's a thank you card and a gift.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. Council Representative Kyle, what are you doing next Monday?
Monday after next?
Monday the 20th.
It looks like I'm going to be at the council meeting.
Well, thank you. Thank you for stepping up and volunteering.
My pleasure.
All right. And with that, is there any other comments from anybody on the Planning Commission? If not, we are adjourned.